This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. A second hour of Intelligent Medicine this weekend, and a little Chris Stapleton in our bumper. Some of you may recognize a little country western influence there. You can call us 877-726-TALK. That's 877, a lot of sevens here. Start again. 877-726-8255. If you want to get through with questions about medicine or nutrition, and we got lots to talk about this hour. The University of Vermont published a study this week that suggests that consumption of hot red chili peppers is associated with a 13% reduction in total mortality. That's an interesting finding. You know, we've been using a chili product for weight loss. It comes to us from Japan, big company that makes a product called Capsiate. Capsiate Natura is a derivative of chili. Studies actually show that people who consume chili tend to burn fat more efficiently. And in animal studies, there's a real demonstration that you can achieve weight loss by feeding chili to the animals, but there's a limit to that because how much chili can you consume? I accidentally put some of the chili seeds into a recipe I was making the other day, and it turns out the seeds are much more pungent, much spicier, much hotter than the chili itself. And so I took this little tiny chili and put it in a big pot of something I was making. I think it was a chicken with green sauce. And I added a pepper, and it just lit me up. So next time I'm going to take some of those deadly seeds and just get rid of them before I add the chili to the dish. But it turns out if you like spicy food, you might live longer, according to researchers. They found a 13% reduction in total mortality. So they studied consumers of chili, and they found, by the way, consumers of hot red chili peppers tend to have a lot of health risks. They often smoke cigarettes. Many are Mexican-American. They drink alcohol, consume more vegetables, which is a good thing, but also more meats. They had lower HDL cholesterol, which is not a good thing when it comes to cardiovascular risk. Nonetheless, they found that the big consumers of chilies had a lower risk of dying. And that's a great finding and suggests that spicy foods, once again, can exert a protective effect. That's something that we've seen consistently with other types of spices. All right, talk about risk factors for dying. Smoking, clearly a risk factor. High cholesterol is a risk factor. Obesity is a risk factor. High blood pressure is a risk factor. But according to the World Health Organization, 350 million people across the world are affected by depression. And depression is as dangerous a risk factor as obesity, and it accounts for almost 1 in 5 heart deaths. The lead researcher, Professor Karl Heinz Ludwig from the University of Munich. I think his name is probably Karl Heinz. I never heard of a German named Karl Heinz. says, there is little doubt that depression is a risk factor for cardiovascular diseases. The question now, what is the relationship between depression and other risk factors like tobacco smoke, high cholesterol, obesity, or hypertension? Clearly they're linked, because if you're depressed, you're less likely to do healthy things for yourself, like exercise, eat well. And there may be a two-way street, because people who are overweight have a higher risk of depression. People who have poor dietary habits and have consequently hypertension or high cholesterol have a higher risk of depression. So is depression simply a marker for an unhealthy lifestyle which puts you at risk for death, or is depression itself a risk factor that in and of itself causes you to have more heart problems? Clearly, you know, I have an example recently with Debbie Reynolds, who passed away after learning of the death of her daughter, in a clear indication of heartbreak. It was, you know, virtually instantaneous death while she was getting the bad news that her daughter had passed away. The findings are published in the journal Atherosclerosis, and they show that only high blood pressure and smoking are more dangerous than depression, especially for men. And they say that depression accounts for roughly 15% of cardiovascular deaths. So, you know, the healthy mind and a healthy body, and the converse is true. The mind has a major impact on your overall health and your risk of dying. And here's another one that looks at the risk of stress in relationship to cancer. Now, it's a controversial area, because some people say, you know, they look back at their life and they say that they let themselves get cancer. They let themselves become subject to cancer because of bad thoughts. Now, that's a terrible burden for cancer sufferers, because it's bad enough to have cancer. But is it possible at some level? And we don't want to put the blame or responsibility on cancer patients for bad thoughts permitting their body to generate a cancer. But could stress be related to certain cancers? Here's the first study on the link between cancer and work-related stress by men. And what they found was that prolonged exposure to work-related stress has been linked to an increased likelihood of several cancers: lung, colon, rectal, stomach, and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. The research done at the University of Montreal. And what they found, they looked at these individuals. The study participants had held four jobs, with some holding up to a dozen or more during their working lifetime. There were significant links to 5 of the 11 cancers considered in the study. These links were observed in men who had been exposed to 15 to 30 years of work-related stress, in some cases more than 30 years. A link between work-related stress and cancer was not found in participants who'd had stressful jobs for less than 15 years. So it seems like the body is resilient, that you can tolerate intermittent periods of stress. Stress is not something to, you know, get all bent out of shape about, because it's not going to help. But long, unrelenting, persistent stress that lasts decades can increase the risk of cancer. The most stressful jobs included, think about it. What's the most stressful job you can think of? Number one, firefighter. Number two, industrial engineer. I wouldn't have thought that. Aerospace engineer. Like a rocket scientist. Mechanic foreman. And vehicle and railway equipment repair worker. So one thing that these, by the way, one thing that these jobs have in common is the potential exposure to environmental toxins. I wonder if they figure that into this study. But the study also shows that perceived stress is not limited to high workload and time constraints. Customer service, sales commissions, responsibilities, the participants' anxious temperament, because some people, you know, just generate stress, job insecurity, financial problems, challenging or dangerous work conditions, employee supervision. In other words, it's more stressful sometimes to be a boss than being down at the bottom of the totem pole. Interpersonal conflict and a difficult commute were all sources of stress listed by the participants. Boy, when you look at all those factors, that is super scary, because these factors are epidemic in the workplace of many Americans, and they can be linked to higher risk of lung, colon, rectal, stomach, and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cancers. First time that this has ever been demonstrated. All right, 877-726-TALK is our number for questions. You call us anytime you like. We'll answer your questions about medicine or health or nutrition. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Mom, can I have some Fry?
Sure, honey.
Thanks, Mom.
You know what that is? That's the sound of my child thanking me for giving her something that's actually good for her teeth. Spry Gum is part of the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products made with 100% xylitol, the all-natural sweetener with proven dental benefits. So when we're at home, my whole family uses Spry toothpaste and mouthwash to help strengthen our teeth and reduce the risk of tooth decay. And when we're on the go, I just throw some Spry Gum and mints right into my bag. My kids love it, and I love that it's all natural. No sugar, no aspartame, or any other chemicals. Just think of that. I reward my kids for taking care of their teeth at home by giving them gum and mints on the go that are good for their teeth. Visit SpryDental.com or ask for Spry by name at your local health food store. You can also ask your dentist about Spry and make sure your mouth is receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
At Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, Sprouts, Kroger's, and all natural product retailers. Find a retailer near you at clear.com.
How far would you go to maintain healthy blood pressure? Would you eat 3 bowls of kale and spinach every day? Well, probably not. But lucky for you, you don't have to. Helping to support healthy blood pressure and circulation just became hassle-free. Introducing Heart Greens from Humanen, the functional food that you drink using the same dark leafy greens recommended by both the DASH and Mediterranean diets. Heart Greens are specially tested for high dietary nitrates, which convert to nitric oxide in the body. That's why it works so well for supporting healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. Get a free canister of Heart Greens with your first order and a 100% money-back guarantee. Heart Greens even guarantees you'll love the taste. Plus, receive a set of nitric oxide indicator strips to monitor your dietary nitrate levels before and after and see the change for yourself. Try Heart Greens. You'll love it. Call 800-951-8940. That's 800-951-8940. Or visit IntelligentGreens.com. That's IntelligentGreens.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. Our number 877-726-TALK. And how far would you go to maintain healthy blood pressure? You know, it's a big problem. People looking for natural ways to achieve a blood pressure goal without medication. Would you eat 3 bowls of kale and spinach every day? Well, that's what it would take to give you enough nitric oxide to get your blood pressure down, but probably that's pushing the limits a little bit, right? Well, lucky for you, you don't have to. Helping to support healthy blood pressure and circulation just became hassle-free. Introducing Heart Greens from Humanen. That's the same company that introduced Super Beets a while back. You remember that product. Heart Greens is the functional food that you drink using the same dark leafy greens recommended by both the DASH and Mediterranean diets. Heart Greens are specially tested for high dietary nitrates, which convert to nitric oxide in the body. And that's why it works so well for supporting healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. Now you can get a free canister of Heart Greens with your first order and a 100% money-back guarantee. Heart Greens even guarantees you'll love the taste, and I can vouch for that because I've field-tested this stuff, and it tastes great. I don't know how they do it. Plus, receive a set of nitric oxide indicator strips to monitor your dietary nitrate levels before and after, and you'll see the change for yourself. Try Heart Greens. You'll love it. Call 800-951-8940. That's 800-951-8940. Or visit IntelligentGreens.com. That's IntelligentGreens.com for Heart Greens. All right. Big debate going on is what's worse for you? Is it high fructose corn syrup, which has been vilified lately, or just good old-fashioned glucose or dextrose? And this is actually some aficionados of soda say, don't give me that high fructose corn syrup stuff. I just want the original sugar, good old-fashioned sugar. So they investigated this in the Journal of Physiology. Female rats were given a liquid solution of either glucose or fructose, which is sugar found in fruit and fruit juices, and is the main source of sweetener in sodas because it's cheap. It comes from corn. We've got an overabundance of corn in this country, dirt cheap, hence it's used to sweeten virtually everything. The rats received the sweetened solutions for 8 weeks, and in a rat life, that's the equivalent of 6 years of human consumption. So then they compared the sugar-fed rats to a control group that received plain drinking water in addition to their food supply. Here's what they found. Researchers found that although both sugar-fed rats, rat groups, consumed more calories than the control group, you know, duh, sugar is going to be a great calorie delivery system. The total calorie intake of the glucose-fed rats was higher than the rats that were given fructose. So you'd think, okay, well, then let's use fructose, because when the rats were given glucose, they consumed more calories, which is bad, and they're going to consume less calories when they get the fructose. But here's the problem. Despite the fact that they got more calories out of the glucose, it was only the fructose group that exhibited a significant increase in final body weight, which is right. That's the object, right? To make sure that you don't gain scads and scads of weight. And it gets worse. In addition to higher body weight gain, the fructose rats showed more markers of circulatory disease and liver damage. They developed fatty livers. They had high triglycerides. They had decreased fat burning in the liver, which is the pathway to fatty liver. And they also had impaired relaxation of the aorta. They had stiffening of the major arterial conduit of the body, which ultimately can affect blood pressure. So they say that the increase in the amount of calories consumed due to sweetener is not the only factor involved in the long-term health risks. It's not just that they make you fat, but fructose may have a toxic effect. And hey, folks, that's what we're consuming in America. That is America's favorite sweetener. The type of sugar, they say, may play a role in increasing risk factors for heart disease, diabetes, fatty liver, ultimately with liver failure, and other chronic diseases. So high fructose corn syrup, this study suggests that it's just as bad as we thought it was. All right, 877-726-TALK. Call us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Congratulations! You've survived disco nights and 12-hour days, not to mention fast food and life in the fast lane. Now it's time to fight the effects of modern life in the digital age and aging itself with one of life's natural miracles, garlic. Its healing and health-giving properties are great. But what about the odor? Well, you don't need to eat raw cloves to get all the good things in garlic. Just take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. University research confirms that Kyolic is the one true antioxidant garlic supplement. It helps defend you against free radicals and helps keep blood pressure and cholesterol in check. So if Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract can do everything researchers report, just think what it could do for you. See for yourself. For more information, go to kyolic.com. That's KYOLIC.com. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. For people who take their garlic and their health seriously, look for Kyolic where quality natural supplements are sold.
How far would you go to maintain healthy blood pressure? Would you eat 3 bowls of kale and spinach every day? Well, probably not. But lucky for you, you don't have to. Helping to support healthy blood pressure and circulation just became hassle-free. Introducing Heart Greens from Human N. The functional food that you drink using the same dark leafy greens recommended by both the DASH and Mediterranean diets. Hard greens are specially tested for high dietary nitrates, which convert to nitric oxide in the body. That's why it works so well for supporting healthy blood pressure levels in circulation. Get a free canister of Hard Greens with your first order and a 100% money-back guarantee. Hard Greens even guarantees you'll love the taste. Plus, receive a set of nitric oxide indicator strips to monitor your dietary nitrate levels before and after and see the change for yourself. Try Hard Greens. You'll love it. Call 800-951-8940. That's 800-951-8940. Or visit IntelligentGreens.com. That's IntelligentGreens.com. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. I consume a lot of eggs every week. I have, virtually every day, I have two eggs. And that is something that flies directly in the face of recommendations by many who still maintain that you ought to decrease your intake of cholesterol and saturated fats. Eggs have been maligned and vilified. But new studies suggest that eggs may not, in fact, increase your risk of heart disease. This has been something that has taken literally decades to push back on. The cholesterol hypothesis, cholesterol in, cholesterol gets deposited in your arteries, cholesterol thus causes heart attacks. But it's simply not true. And so here's a study that suggests that intake of up to 3 eggs per day, perish the thought, oh my goodness, 3 eggs per day, you're going to die, right? No, intake of up to 3 eggs per day not only is not harmful, but is associated with beneficial changes in HDL function and antioxidant levels in healthy young adults. Okay, so the background of this is that HDL function may be more important than HDL concentration. HDL is a carrier of carotenoids and antioxidant enzymes, and so it's a protective substance. It helps to counteract the adverse effects of bad, so-called bad cholesterol, the LDL small particles, which are thought to increase the risk of heart disease. So they looked at the impact of consuming either no eggs or up to 3 eggs per day on LDL and HDL particle size. It's not just the amount, the numerical count for LDL and HDL, it's the particle size. There's LDL that's large and fluffy and benign, and then there's LDL that's small and dense and dangerous. And, of course, HDL function, not just the HDL count, is important. They can slice and dice and determine that. And we can use sophisticated tests of the Hoffman Center to provide people with feedback on if their HDL is doing its job or if they have good or bad LDL particles. So they looked at healthy men and women, and the subjects consumed either 1, 2, or 3 eggs per day for 4 weeks. And they did a bunch of analyses. And what they found was that consuming 1 to 3 eggs per day resulted in increased large LDL, that's the good kind of LDL, the large, fluffy, benign particles, by up to a third. And also an increase of around 10% in the large LDL, HDL particles. Those are the best kind of HDL. Plasma ApoA went up around 10 to 15%. LCAT activity, that's a transporter that takes cholesterol away from the arterial wall, went up about 10% with the eggs. And the eggs also caused an increase in plasma lutein and zeaxanthin by about 25%. They resulted in an improvement in the antioxidant profile as well. So what they conclude is that intake of up to 3 eggs per day, they didn't study whether 4, 5, 6, 7 eggs a day would be even better, but up to 3 eggs per day favored a less atherogenic LDL particle profile. It improved HDL function and increased plasma antioxidants in young healthy adults. So I'm vindicated in terms of my egg consumption and my recommendations to you. All right.
Peter, let's queue up one of those calls from one of our listeners who checked in on the website and clicked on the bar on the right and left a question.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I'm calling about my grandson. He's 21 months old, and for the past 4 months, he's been struggling with ear infections, and he's, I think, on his second or third run of antibiotics. I've heard your podcast about xylitol nasal spray, and we've been using that along with the antibiotics, but is there anything else we could possibly do to end this terrible four-month period that he's been struggling with the ear infections? Thank you.
Yeah, that's a really good question because, ear infections are really common. And, you know, in the old days, ear, nose, and throat doctors made a living taking tonsils out of little kids. And then that kind of became passé. It was sort of a surgical vogue, and we now know that not every inflamed or enlarged tonsil needs to be removed. Sometimes they do, but it's done much less frequently. But fortunately for ear, nose, and throat doctors, there's been an epidemic of ear infections, and they end up having to put in ear tubes, which is a procedure that they can bill for. And it's a really common problem. And the reason it's common is, in my opinion, mostly due to diet. I think that with most kids, simple elimination of dairy and wheat products can produce a remarkable decrease in ear infection. So I would start with diet. I would also watch out for sugar consumption because kids shouldn't be introduced to sugar, but they get far too much. Sugar promotes infection. It also promotes an overgrowth of yeast and harmful bacteria in the gastrointestinal tract, which we know undermines the immune response. So other things that can be done, the clear nasal spray, that's a wonderful idea because studies have shown that by spritzing a little clear into the nasal passages of kids, and, you know, we've got a 13-month in our extended family, and we made sure that he got a little bottle of kids clear, and he likes it. He actually holds out the bottle and smiles, puts it up to his nose, and, he's not dexterous enough to squirt it up his nose, but he gets his parents to squirt it up his nose. Then he offers it back to his parents to have them demonstrate it and show that they're doing it too. And if you do it four times a day, it breaks up the biofilms that line the nasal passages, but also adjoin the inner ear via the eustachian tubes. And the eustachian tubes are sort of a highway where bacteria can transit from the nasal passages into the inner ear. And so you do that and you'll break the vicious cycle of infection. But without the diet change, without a little bit of nutritional supplementation, because one thing that kids should be getting to support their immune systems is about 1,000 or 2,000 international units of vitamin D. It's not too much for even a four-year-old, especially in wintertime when they have virtually no sun exposure, to get their immune system to start performing normally. And I hesitate to, recommend a whole lot of, vitamins and supplements to a kid that I haven't seen. But, among the things that are helpful, larch, arabinogalactans, which are a gentle way of stimulating immunity in kids, that's a good product. A little bit of vitamin C, perhaps a kid's multi with some zinc to support immunity. Sometimes kids will benefit from transfer factor, which is it's actually something that can help to make up for the fact that if kids aren't breastfed, they don't get the colostrum, which is that initial immune boosting substance that's present in breast milk. It only lasts for a very short time in the mother's milk, but it helps to prime the immune system. And some kids don't get breastfed, or they don't get adequately breastfed. And using transfer factor, which is actually derived from cow colostrum, sometimes they're, people allergic to dairy, they're egg products. These transfer factors help to boost the production of immunoglobulins, which help to fend off infections. But, it's a vicious cycle. When kids get sick, they take antibiotics. The antibiotics destroy their beneficial bacteria. That further undermines their immune system. And they get infection after infection after infection. Probiotics also are helpful in restoring natural immunity. What's really been shown is that if you give probiotics to kids or adults, there's going to be a decrease in the frequency of upper respiratory infections because the gut is an important determinant of the immune system. I've been studying this lately, and there's some really good studies that support that, the influence of probiotics on immunity. So there you have it, a comprehensive plan. Let's hope that your grandchild breaks the vicious cycle of chronic infections. All right, here's something that I want to share with you. You've been hearing about the Zona Plus is a simple handheld smart device that you hold for 12 minutes once a day, and it guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. It's a great adjunct to your natural management of blood pressure. We talked about heart greens earlier, and here's a device that really works. It's a non-drug treatment, safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure 10% or more naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. There are now at least 22 clinical studies that confirm that regular use of the Zona Plus can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks. There are no negative side effects. My patients are using it, and many listeners have shared with me that they're very satisfied. So you can try it risk-free now. Zona Health offers a 100% satisfaction guarantee. They just want you to take the opportunity to try it and see if it works for you. Try it for 3 months and see if the Zona Plus works. If it doesn't, return it for a full refund. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. That's 888-408-6141 or tryzona.com. All right, we'll be right back with more health information. This is Intelligent Medicine, and I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. There are three ways that you can get questions to us. One is via 877-726-TALK, but our time is waning for today's broadcast. You can email your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com, radioprogram@AOL.com, and that'll be grist for the mill for our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer listener questions that are sent to us via email in depth, radioprogram@AOL.com. And then there's another way you can get questions to us, which is go to our homepage, and there's a black bar on the right side of the page, last time I checked, and you can click on it. And you can record your question, as this listener is about to do. Peter, hit it.
Yes, I'd like to know what you think about repealing and replacing Obamacare. Please let us know.
Okay, wow, this is an explosive question. And it looks like there is going to be an effort to repeal it and then replace it with something that is... shall we say, addressing more of the needs of Americans. Because, I mean, look, Obamacare, while well-intentioned, succeeded in getting more people on the insurance rolls, but the concern is the quality of the health care that they're receiving, which may be very perfunctory. I mean, better, some health care is better than no health care, but I think there's some big problems with the health care delivery system in this country, from my standpoint, as a maybe somebody who's looking a little critically at the medical system as a whole. And more health care isn't necessarily better health care. I'll give you an example. One of the benefits of Obamacare is that now these millions of Americans who were not eligible for insurance are now eligible for screening, cancer screening. They're able to get annual PSAs. In fact, they're encouraged to do so. The women are getting annual mammograms, which are thought to be life-saving. But there's some concerns. I'm not saying that these tests should not be available. However, a recent study came out suggesting that mammograms, if done annually, are going to turn up one-third of women who will be treated unnecessarily for breast cancer because the abnormalities that they had, maybe precancerous abnormalities, were never going to blossom into full-blown breast cancer and kill them. And therefore, they're going to receive, they're going to have, A, the apprehension and worry, B, a series of procedures that are unnecessary with potentially bad side effects, and C, enormous cost to our healthcare system. So more care isn't necessarily better care. So the system needs to be revamped. It needs to be revamped, and, you know, I have kind of slim hope for this, that the government is going to achieve this. It needs to be revamped with more of an emphasis on preventive care, on integrative care. That may not come from insurance companies or from the government, unfortunately. It may have to be a grassroots effort, which is consumer-driven, where people opt for, you know, more preventive care, which is something that one can undertake on one's own with better diet, selection of supplements and lifestyle measures, exercise. That's, I think, where the emphasis really needs to be, and that, of course, is the thrust of this program. But, of course, people need, you know, catastrophic coverage. I mean, it's, you know, it's a no-fault proposition when somebody T-bones your car after running a red light, and we need to have some system that prevents Americans from going bankrupt when really bad stuff happens through no fault of your own. I mean, I think when you put enormous amounts of free care in people's hands when they abuse their bodies and there's no moral hazard associated with horrible lifestyles, I think that's a disincentive to take care of yourself. You know, there's always a drug answer or a surgical answer for whatever ails you. And besides, it's virtually free. It's free, except you're paying huge taxes to subsidize it. You know, it seems free, but it isn't. And insurance premiums, you know, are going way out of control. So we need to do something about that fast. You know, complex issue, but clearly a well-intentioned effort has, you know, not achieved its goal of making Americans healthier or making our health system more economical and more efficient. All right, here's an important study that I'll leave you with today, is the gut is very important in determining many, many diseases. They're now linking bacterial imbalance to such conditions as autism, to such conditions as Parkinson's disease, to Alzheimer's disease, to rheumatoid arthritis and ankylosing spondylitis. It turns out that individuals with MS have different bacteria in their intestinal tract, and on it goes. It even seems that the bacteria in your intestinal tract can determine your appetite and whether you're going to develop metabolic syndrome or insulin resistance. For the first time, it's been demonstrated that type 1 diabetes, that's not the kind that's associated with obesity and overweight, it's associated with the failure of the pancreas to produce enough insulin. It's an autoimmune disease. And as such, it's influenced by gut bacteria. First study of its kind. The Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism reports that individuals with type 1 diabetes have a microbiome, a bacterial imbalance that is different from what we see in people who do not have diabetes, or even in those with other autoimmune conditions such as celiac disease. By the way, celiac disease or wheat intolerance, highly correlated with a risk for type 1 diabetes, so that should be a clue. Researchers have theorized that the gut may contribute to the development of type 1 diabetes. The study looked at the microbiome, that's the bacterial balance comprising literally hundreds and potentially thousands of species, who underwent endoscopies. And then they looked and analyzed at the bacteria. They found that individuals with type 1 diabetes showed significantly more signs of inflammation of the gut's mucous membrane. So a lot of what ails us is happening at the level of the gut and the bacteria that populate our intestines, whether due to diet, overuse of antibiotics, overuse of acid blockers, poor quality additives. These are very, very important in determining our health outcomes. All right. Well, thanks very much for joining us. Find out more by going to drhoffman.com, subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We've got lots of ways to become a more informed listener to Intelligent Medicine. Have yourselves a great weekend and stay healthy.
You know,
You remodel your kitchen. You remodel your bathroom. Now remodel your gut. That's right, your gut. Any successful remodel job requires workers to show up with the necessary tools and ready to work. Well, it's just like that with probiotics. They need to come with prebiotics to encourage growth, as well as postbiotics to nourish the gut. And Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are the only brand of probiotics that do just that. Dr. O'Hara's is the only probiotic capsule that contains a rich nutritional prebiotic, along with a full spectrum of 12 selected probiotic strains and naturally derived postbiotics. During a 3-year fermentation process, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics create healthy, organic nutrients and the diversity of flora that are necessary for long-term digestive health. So remodel your gut today with the right workers. Get Dr. O'Hara's probiotics at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide today.